We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Lef. We're back. We're talking offense. Sam Hartman, development of the offense with Tommy Rees. Will Tommy Rees get the Fiesta Bowl itch and start throwing the ball 50 times a game now that he has a quarterback that's experienced and top, I would say a top 10 quarterback in college football? Or will he depend on the running game and the offensive line? That's something we'll get into shortly. And then we're going to talk about your top five offenses as well. And then we have a treat. You know, Luck loves the quarterbacks, man. And Notre Dame just offered a young man from the class of 25 from the state of Texas. And like they say, everything is bigger in Texas. And this young one, he's a big youngin', as they say down there. We'll look at his film on the back end. But Lef, we start with your top five offenses in college football for 2023.
Top five offenses. The first is Caleb Williams, the Heisman winner. I think, you know, the Lincoln Riley and Caleb in that combination in year two, you're looking to be more productive. They got some pieces. They're always getting good receivers. They might even get Marvin Harrison Jr., which would just make our job a lot harder when it comes to next year. But, you know, they're going to find a way to put points on the board. That's why they're really good. And they take all the energy from their defense and put it on their offense. So that's why they're an offensive-focused team. But hopefully we'll be ready for that with how we're stacking our defense by that time too. Second offense, I would love to say it's Notre Dame. I think we've got a quarterback that's capable enough and veteran enough to execute what Tommy's been wanting to probably run for a long time consistently. And we also have Tyler Buckner, who's not too far off on the talent level and we know is capable of creating explosive plays and putting up points himself. So having two quarterbacks that you can't go wrong with, really, we're about, you know, one or two games shy of really doing something special. But it really comes down to how we execute on offense. I think both quarterbacks are capable of utilizing our talent to score the points necessary to win big games. But it also comes down to Tommy being able to take the handcuffs off, because I felt like he's had a lot of handcuffs and been in trying to be a nursery, babying guys and getting them developed because they're the first-time starters or haven't been there and done that before. Now he's got guys that's been there, done that before, so maybe he gets out of the nursery and starts schooling these kids the right way, and we can be the top five offense with the talent that we have is top five that we should be. Another top offense that I'm excited to watch is Drake May. Obviously, him and Caleb are the one and two quarterbacks this next year, just like Bryce and CJ were, and Bryce and CJ's offenses were astounding. I mean, they were high-flying, high-scoring, and I expect the same thing out of a offense like Drake May. I think he'll get some receivers. Maybe he gets Mitchell from Georgia. That would be a great combination. So I think Drake May being a suspected top scoring offense because he's a top quarterback for next year's draft. Another offense because I'm on three or I'm on four.
You're on four now.
I'm on four. The fourth one is Ole Miss. I love Lane Kiffin and what he's doing. I think when he has three very capable quarterbacks, a super veteran, a guy that was a transfer from a Power Five that's well respected in USC and Jackson Dart, and also getting a young five-star guy, Walker Howard, I think he's going to be able to find enough production out of that quarterback room to have another productive offense that we know Lane is so accustomed to putting on the field. And I think it always take plays from him anyway. So he's pretty creative. I like the things that he does offensively. And then the last one's hard for me because I got a couple options. I think Tennessee is going to be a top five scoring offense because Joe Milton has a cannon of an arm and he's a big, big dude back there. So that Jamarcus Russell type of feel can be dangerous with how they run their offense. Because how they run their offense, I mean, they can put up some points too. So I think it's going to give them a hard out watching them go next year. So it's between them, which I think is could be there. I think Oregon, obviously, is going to be a high-scoring team. And I think one of the Big 12 teams is going to be high-scoring. I just don't know. Maybe Texas, because I think I like their quarterback situation. But the fifth is up in the air, but I'll just go with Tennessee because I really like Joe Milton off of last year.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's going to be interesting to see what TCU can do if they have another explosive year there. You mentioned the Big 12. I think Baylor takes a step. They have more experienced quarterback play this year. I think they take a step up offensively. And then Dillon Gabriel at Oklahoma is going to be interesting to see what that Oklahoma offense can do. I'll say another one. I'm interested in seeing what Garrett Riley does at Clemson. I don't know if there'll be a top five offense, but it goes back to what you said when you were talking about the schedule. I think as a team, they'll be a tougher opponent than they were this year when Notre Dame comes into Happy Valley. Or that's not Happy Valley, that's Penn State. But when they come into Clemson, I'm interested in seeing what he does with Cade Klubnik and how he builds the offense around him in that running game. Like, do they allow him to throw the ball, or is it really still going to be built around that running game and being physical? Because that offensive line really was better this year. It's one of the best offensive lines that Clemson and Dabo has had since his time there. So
Clemson. I think you're going to see a lot, you know, speaking of quarterbacks out of Clemson, I think Oregon State's going to be really solid next year in the underdog.
Yeah.
Because they're like a lot like Utah, very tough veteran team that really quarterbacks away from being consistent every year. So,
yeah, I agree
with that. DJ should be good up there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then the Pratt kid going back to Tulane, you know, I'm sure they'll put up points the same way they did this year. It's going to be interesting, but I like your top five list right there. That's the top five offenses in 2023, according to Luck himself, right here on the Lucky Lefty podcast. And now we spin that forward, Notre Dame major list. Let's talk about how that offense is going to look and how tempting it is going to be for Tommy Rees to not fall in love with his new toy quarterback and stick to the core and the foundation of what Notre Dame and its strength is really all about, which is that offensive line and the running backs. My first question to you, Lef, is the offensive line better at pass pro or run blocking?
Probably run blocking. But I think we can stretch the limits of our pass pro, having a more veteran quarterback back there not holding the football. So it probably highlights our offensive line blocking a little bit better than what it's looked like in the past. But if I had to choose, I would say run blocking, because that's what comes in handy later in the season. But, I mean, I don't know. Passing wins championships, the way Stetson Bennett had to throw for about 350 now. Well, I'm not going to count the Georgia game, but 2 years ago, Stetson Bennett had to throw for some yards to win that game. So maybe it's going to have to come for that too.
Well, I mean, there will be games that the passing game is going to have to step up and win the game. They're going to have to step up and win the game. I would venture to say that you want to be physical in all of your big games. You want to be physical against Ohio State and run the ball. You want to be physical against USC and run the ball. But it's tempting against USC because their tackling is so awful. And their defensive backfield is just dreadful.
Yeah, because they like, man,
and I thought Drew Pine was able to put in work against USC.
They don't even practice with pads on defense in SEC, USC.
You know what? You might be right. Have I ever seen them in pads? And all the
you always see them in front of Instagram. You always see them in fashionable clothes walking to the game. They just have fashion contests at practice.
So the question of the day was, how many pass attempts per game will Sam Hartman average?
Pass attempts?
Pass attempts per game.
I think Tommy would be a pretty neutral, probably try to be right in the middle. So I say 25 to 30 passes in a game is probably pretty solid as a call. 25 to 30, 28 being the average, I think.
What about, 30 rushing attempts? A little bit more, 35 to 40 rushing attempts?
Yeah, you want to be pretty 50-50. I think that's the world he wants to live in. He tried to do that with Tyler Buchner, but Tyler Buchner was doing both.
Well, I mean, he adds to the running game. So, like you said, he's doing both. Yeah, I don't think this offense needs to go, even though they just picked up a top five quarterback, in your opinion, I don't think they need to go too pass happy. I really don't. I think they need to alleviate the pressure off of Sam Hartman. He has lived with pressure on his shoulders his entire career at Wake Forest. Bring him in, give him a brand new look on what it takes to win football games, especially big time football games, and make him feel comfortable behind that running game and that offensive line and be more efficient. I would like to see his completion percentage go up. And I would like to see the number of big plays that Notre Dame makes in the passing game goes up. That was one of the great things TCU did. The TCU had some incredible stat, like they had 50 plays of over 20 yards, and they had 20 plays of over 50 yards, which is crazy. You know, I would love to see Notre Dame have 20 plays over 50 yards. during the season.
Tommy's going to have to dial him up now.
Man, Tommy's going to have to dial it up. And he's going to have the opportunity because, you know, this is a question. Who's happier, the running backs or the wide receivers with Sam Hartman showing up? That's a good question. That's a good question.
The answer should be both. It should take the pressure off of the running game, and it should add completions to more receivers in the passing game.
I just think the running backs are finally going to see six, seven in the box.
Yep.
Consistently.
You don't have no pressure. They're not trying to load the box. They're like, oh, you're going to run it? You're going to throw it? We'll keep them guessing.
Shoot, offensive line might be happy too. Instead of run blocking against 6 and 7, it's a lot easier. That's right. 7, 8 consistently. So his impact is really important just from the experience standpoint and gaining and harnessing respect from the defensive coordinator as he prepares for Notre Dame. Like, he shifts the game plan, in my opinion. Defensive coordinators might not be so quick to be aggressive at the line of scrimmage with their safeties and with their linebackers.
They're not going to throw our classic double safety blitz at us.
No, no. Who will get the Charlie Jones Award for Notre Dame? Who will get the freaking
It should be Charlie Jones Tobias Award? Merriweather. If we was really like, all right, we're going to treat him like a Calvin Johnson, let's just throw him the balls. Huh? Mm-hmm. He should be starting next year. And then, I mean, other than that, I think everybody is pretty much on the same level of they going. We don't know how productive our receiver room can be.
Yeah.
It's even hard to guess. I would hope it would be Tobias because he sounds like the most talented. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's a new – we just created a new award for the lefties next year, the freaking Charlie Jones Award.
Freaking Charlie, like
for the best wide receiver.
And he was cooking in the Big Ten game too.
Man.
He was cooking every game.
Are you talking about the championship game?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was cooking against
Michigan. He was cooking.
He was. And they were double teaming.
I saw why he was getting, you know.
Yeah.
He's always Adam Thielen, man.
That's a good call. He might be an Adam Thielen type. He might be. So once again, Notre Dame would be a top five offensive team. One of the top five offenses according to Lef. Lef, you suspect that 30 passes per game is good enough for Sam Hartman?
20-35 on the high end.
Yeah. He's what, 22 or 30, 290 to 350, depending upon the big plays in the game. And that leaves about 35 to 40 carries for the backfield. Divide that evenly amongst three running backs.
If we're in a tight game like SC, I'm seeing it being like 25 for 37 or something. Mm. 350. 25 for 37, 350. Or 26 for 37, 350.
Yeah.
Both touchdowns or something. But in a game where we should be smacking him up and down the field, i.e. Stanford next year, he should be like, you know, 20 for 25. We should have a bunch of running yards.
Yeah.
And those 25 are just to keep him honest. Because we're running that ball.
Running that rock.
And then Tyler Buckner going to get in there and get him about 50, 60 yards rushing, you know, because we're going to be beating him by first half.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be all right.
So Antoine Hill Jr., 2025 quarterback. Originally I said he was from Texas. He's from Houston High School. That's what threw me off. Houston High School down in Georgia. Number two quarterback in the 25 class. Lef, this kid is 6'5". 6'5", bro. 215 pounds. As we say here on the Lucky Lefty podcast, It's time to go to the tape. Let's go to the tape. Antoine Hill. Let's check out his sophomore film. Wait a minute. What? Did the ball go out of the screen?
Yeah,
what,
I think
the, what the? Okay, we're watching this for the first time. That throw was crazy.
Hold on. You got to rewind it. Mine's glitched or something.
Okay. We're going to stop and because Left missed that first clip. 6'5", 215 out of the state of Georgia. Class of 25, number two ranked quarterback. This first throw is ridiculous, bro. That's almost 7 yards in the air, bro.
Yeah, great throw.
That's insane.
Well, I like that he has a bunch of arm talent. He's definitely good that he's on the radar because we can throw it deep. But the only problem I have with watching tape like this is that, you know, you can throw it deep, but can you do anything else? I don't think Tommy's going to be calling deep throws every time, but we know that we can do something with the just back there launching it. So if anybody's ever remembered Tommy Armstrong that went to Nebraska, his tape was just like this. He just took a couple steps and chucked it. And, I mean, he had a career of chucking it in Nebraska, and it was, you know, pretty solid. But I like that he has the height. I like that he has the explosiveness in his arm. You know, I mean, he's throwing the hell out of the ball. So, you know, I think just seeing it looks really good. Just a really good talent. I can't really say if it's a really great fit, but I can say it's a really great talent.
The arm talent just stands out.
Yes. But that's his whole tape.
You know, just immediately. And he's a sophomore. And a lot of times, you know, you ask yourself, what are these young men being asked to do? I sent you a film of a young sophomore, and we were amazed by the offense he was running just as much as we like him as a player. Because as a sophomore, they were asking him to do things that will make him far advanced by the time he got to college.
See, you know where he would be really good at? Because of fit? At Coastal Carolina. Now, I know he's probably not going to go there or nothing.
Come on, dog. He's the number two court.
I'm just saying from the style of offense. If going to college football was about fit and not about you the best, so you just got to go to Bama type of thing, he would look great in that RPO.
Then why couldn't he go to Oregon?
Oregon. I was just saying fit. Oregon does a little bit more. They do some more rollouts and stuff nowadays. I think the kid looks really talented, but I think it also really talented in a fit system. I hope we get him.
Man, the arm talent is Antoine Hill Jr., ladies and gentlemen.
And he's 6'5", thank goodness.
6'5", 215 as a sophomore. Hey, Tommy, I see what you like, bro. I see why you offered him. Now, whether or not
I feel like Tommy recruits sometimes like the Rooney Rule.
I don't know if he – come on, dude.
Sometimes. I think he has his type that he likes. But he be killing me sometimes. Because, I mean, he should have had Dante. I don't know why. That just doesn't make no sense to me.
My man says sometimes he recruits like the Rooney Rule. Lucky Lefty podcast. I don't even know what to say after that. I have no clue what to say after
that. Man, because Brandon Clark, that whole years after Ian is just confusing to me. There's a lot of talent in them years, and I don't know how we ended up with that room. So we got a lot of talent. But we're going to be good, man. We're going to be good.
Yeah, I'm glad you have something to say because I'm speechless right now.
What do you mean?
That Rooney Rule just took me out.
Take you
out. Yeah, it just took me out.
Why is this true?
Yo, you said this man recruits like the Rooney Rule sometimes.
Because it doesn't make sense, Sean. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Lucky Lefty Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CFB Nation, in conjunction. All of our great content, along with John Garcia Jr., State of Recruiting. Man, leave us 5 stars. Leave your comments, your questions. We would greatly appreciate it. It's the Lucky Lefty Podcast. You already know. We spin it different.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Anything else you want to talk about, man?
What? No, I think the kid's talented. I think he could be good at like a Baylor, Oregon.
The kid can be good at whatever school he wants to go to.
Washington, Ohio State. He definitely looked like the next Ohio State's quarterback. Because I like the way that they do. Ohio State does the same thing. They just want to throw bubbles and goals and slants. Because they got better talent. But Ohio State has to be good in recruiting the mess out of their defense. And we'll see next year. I think they're going to have, you know, Noel's second year. We're going to see how he does.
All right, man. We talked about Malik's top 5 quarterbacks. Whether or not he thought Sam Hartman would be a top 5 quarterback next year. We talked about transfers, A.D. Mitchell, and also Spencer Sanders finding new homes. And then we got into Notre Dame's offense and how it will evolve and what it might look like, assuming that Sam Hartman is the starting quarterback. Antoine Hill Jr., 25 quarterback out of Georgia, broke down his film. It's the Lucky Lefty Podcast. My man said, this dude recruits like the Rooney Rule.
Sometimes. It's not all the time. Sometimes. Because it just wasn't making no sense, man.
You know what time it is, man.
Petticoat Junction.
It's time to get petty.
Oh, we did a good job executing.
Are you upset with something?
And fire up the Petticoat Junction train.
I just don't like you.
You don't?
No.
What is today's petty history? Petty Junction.
Yo. Petty Junction, pettiest story of the day. Brought to you by Adora Whiskey, AdoraWhiskey.com, that premium American whiskey, AdoraWhiskey.com. Yo, every time I hear that Russell Westbrook in the open, bro. No, I just don't like you. Oh, man.
Yeah, you see, he pump faked it. No, he took a shot. Midair was like, nah, I don't want to shoot. He throws it off the dude.
Definitely put Russell Westbrook on the petty train, being down one against Philly the other night and just coming down and just.
Now, he did make the defensive play on the other end.
He did.
So it was like, I guess he earned it. So if I was like, here we go.
Brom was like, go ahead, man. Just go ahead.
Nobody even called for it. That was the funny part. Brom didn't even run over to it. He's like, go ahead. He's taking this to the house.
Yes, look. Yes, Malik is on the petty train today. Yes, he is. He's absolutely on the petty train today for that. He absolutely is on the petty train.
Oh my God.
Enough said. Don't have to go any further into it. That would be definitely one of the best clips coming back for the Lefty Awards in December. This man said he recruits like the Rooney Rule sometimes. I'm done. I'm absolutely done. I can barely finish this show. I'm done, man. I'm done.
Great show today.
Joe, I did yesterday. I had to put Andre Rison on the petty train. This dude said he was a better receiver than Jerry Rice.
How did he fix his lips to say that? I mean, I know you a competitor and anything, but Jerry Rice might be one of the more undisputed characters in NFL history where we're like, yeah, he's just the best of all time. Like, you know, people debate the LeBron Jordan thing. I think Jay Rice is more unified as the best receiver of all time.
Yo, my man said he recruits like the Rooney Rule. Y'all got to be kidding me, man. I can't even move forward, bro.
Am I lying?
Put crumble cookies on the petty train for doing too much. Fruit Loops on and Stan's donuts too. Fruit Loops on top of donuts and all that stuff. What did you get? What did you get from Crumble?
A honey bun donut. I mean, a honey bun cookie.
That looks fire though.
This is fire. Okay. It's a honey bun cookie.
That looks fire.
So I think Insomnia is great. But when you get stuff like this, you got to know how to pick them.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, they do. I think my mom had like a caramel joint from there.
They definitely do too much though sometimes. Like they got a cornbread cookie.
See,
that's when I was like, oh, y'all.
Is it skillet cornbread or Jiffy mix? Because that's.
No, it's like a real cookie though. But it's like, I'm like, what does it taste like? They're like, oh, exactly like cornbread. I'm like, I don't know. Just make some cornbread.
Right. Just make some sweet cornbread and sell it.
Yeah, don't make it a cookie that tastes like corn. No, just make some cornbread.
Just make some cornbread salad, man.
You know, I'm in California, though, so they try to just overdo everything.
Now, see, when I was out there, of course, the insomnia is right there on USC's campus. So I always get those.
You right there.
I'm right there on the campus.
A nice little 12-pack.
Yes.
So they come right, come into it.
And I actually, oh, the best is the lemon white chocolate that they only bring out around Easter.
Mm.
Fantastic.
The lemon white chocolate.
They only bring it out like literally like 2 weeks leading up to Easter and after Easter. Mm. Every year.
Fantastic. I don't get why these dessert shops make seasonal, you know, things like this pastry shop down the street. They make seasonal donuts. But they're like heavenly. I'm like, if they made it all the time, they'd probably be rich, you know. But they only make them during the winter time. Which
it creates demand, right? And then it widens out your menu. It gives you an opportunity to introduce more flavors.
Mm. Okay, smart. You know,
they can't put all of those flavors on the menu at the same time. Then that's more work for them. But if they keep one or two for each season, then, you know, they can keep the same workload, and then your demand, you're waiting for that time of the season. And then know you're going to go crazy when it finally comes. Right? Because you've been waiting on it. So, I mean, it's pretty good marketing. I understand why they do it. And then, you know, things like strawberries here in the Midwest, most strawberry desserts go out of season. Like during the winter.
They do, man.
Yeah. So
that always tripped me up. Fruit goes out of season. I'm like, how does a fruit go out of season?
Well, it never goes out of season in California.
Watermelons are out of season right now.
In California?
Yeah. The only thing that's good right now are the oranges. Because oranges are good in the spring, right? Oranges are getting apples, all right.
Well, tangerines are good in the winter.
Yep, the little cuties, like you said, the little cuties.
Yeah.
The
cuties are bomb right now. See, for us, we're in the Midwest, so we still get the Mississippi watermelons, even in the winter.
Really?
Yeah. Right there. Man,
in the summer, we got the best ones.
No bet.
In the winter?
No. Strawberries are incredible out there in California, though.
They are. But you got to go to the...
to pick them?
You got to go to the...
Down in the foreign
markets. The Mexican grocery store.
Okay.
Only say Mexican grocery store because it'd be everything be Spanish. But okay. The strawberries be like, they be right. They don't be the same like if you go to Ralph's.
Right.
Or like Kroger because that's Midwest.
Right. Like I've actually went... You know, they got the little place where you can pick them down in the OC, like right outside of Carlsbad.
Mm-hmm.
Oceanside somewhere.
See, I'm bougie because now I start going to the meat market. They got this Manhattan meats that's really good. And we get the nice cuts. It's just, you know, California can turn you into a real enthusiast. A bougie person.
Oh, that's another food segment brought to you by the podcast. Brandon Gilbert said you got to try Duck Donuts here in the OC. Made to order donuts. Request the vegan dough. Trust me, you won't regret it.
Made to order donuts.
Now that's close to you, right?
I'm in the valley.
Oh, you're in the valley. Like I go to the OC usually for the outlet mall when I'm there. I take the missus down there. So I'm usually down there. So I have to put a pin in Duck Donuts.
Mm.
She would love the vegan dough. She definitely would rock with that vegan dough. Look, as long as they have good glaze, I'm fine. I'm not hard to please, bro. I'm not hard to please. Garland Doxy says, Malik and Sean, we got a spot in South Bend called Cool Runnings. Now, and it smacks.
It had to be now because if it was a donut spot back then, I would have been
no,
there.
No. He's talking about that jerk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to have to check that out.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to have to go check it out.
The Hart Foundation. Can Dante Moore be a starter day one in UCLA?
I don't know who they got in the tank over there.
He'll be a starter, dude.
I mean, they got the 5-star plus now. I didn't even know it was a plus to it. I thought they were talking about Disney Plus or something. They talking about 5-star plus.
The show he put on the entire week at the All-American Bowl, I see why he got the plus. And what he did in the game?
Yeah, no, I believe I think he is a 5-star. I'm just saying, I didn't know they add plus to things now.
Truman Dumel, thank you for the super chat. How will Hartman complement and make better the running back room? P.S. Are we still tight end university solely?
I think Hartman would be great complimenting the running game, lightening the box, giving us more opportunity to put guys in mismatches and loosening the defense because we can throw over top of the defense. Hopefully we'll see a lot more two shell, which anytime you have two shells, a great look to run the football. And I think our running backs are going to be even better having a balance of possibly seeing some Tyler Buchner be thrown in there, seeing some Sam and Tyler in there. I think it can help to complement the running game. But Sam, overall leadership and his effectiveness to maybe even doing the little things like changing the run to the right side, going from pass to a run. I can imagine Tommy being more experimentative with Sam Hartman and the way he can control the huddle and his toolbox at the line of scrimmage. Oh, you on mute.
My fault. Brandon Gilbert said he can't find a good grape in the OC. I don't know if that's the actual grape or like a nickname for wine. You can get some Honora whiskey, though.
That's a fact.
Yes, sir. Well, Lef, great show today, man. Once again, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of our great content. Thank you guys for how much you support us, man, and download the content. Continue to do so. YouTube, subscribe. Smash that like button. Share, notification bell, let everybody know. Lucky Lefty Podcast. We truly spin it different. Have a fantastic rest of your Thursday. But most of all, make sure that you spin it different today. We'll see you guys tomorrow for another edition of the Lucky Lefty Podcast.